Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on Sokala Duma Radio. This is Osangana Corn.
Good day and welcome to the car wash. This is episode number 42. We come to you bright and early after having watched a whole bunch of football last night. On today's show, we have the PSL finale upcoming. We react to the penultimate matches from last night. And we also discuss Premier League transfer rumors and, of course, a little Messi update. Whether you're listening to us on the SL Podcast Network, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or Mahikeng 96.7 FM, Game Time, welcome to the show. Of course, I'm your host, Lou Powell, and I don't come to you alone. So, what could I say about this man, Sean Roberts? You know, if you were a black artist, I'd call you Donald Glover. Gloves? Sorry, never mind. It's a bad one. I struggled.
So
I,
bad.
I struggled with this week's one. I'm not gonna lie. And I might call him Malcolm because he was the man in the middle of Steko Modise.
How are you, Ruta?
How you doing?
Good man.
All right, gents. I think we need an update on them jokes. So.
Right. I know several jokes in sign language. I guarantee no one's ever heard of them before, though.
Oh.
Guys, it's 3 in the morning.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Simon? Yes. Thank you.
I'll also admit something about the intros that I do.
Yeah.
Is I leave them to the last minute. I always do. And so generally I've had the whole day, but like now we've woken up so early that my mind was just like,
Okay.
What are we
gonna
do?
You are forgiven. Yeah. You are forgiven because that was dog poo.
All right. But we have some PSL action to go through last night. I don't know if the PSL has done this before. Do they always do the second last round of matches also all at the same time? Because usually it's the last round of matches that we do that. But
that was interesting. I quite enjoyed that setup though. I think what channel was that on where you could watch three games at once? It was pretty cool.
Yeah. I think I was on 202, so I was watching the Chiefs match, but then they would bring up the other ones every now and then.
It was pretty sick.
Might have been 204.
Yeah, it was slick. It was awesome, man. I mean, literally one click of a button, you're watching five or six games. It was epic. And my heart was in the mouth with Chiefs for these 70 minutes, bro. I was like, ooh,
wow. Against the 9-man chipper.
Oh man.
We can't do it. They can't do it.
It's unbelievable. But down to the last game, guys.
It is.
As we planned.
Yes. So let's start here. As opposed to Chiefs, you know, because they did have the big lead that they've lost over time. Mm. But as opposed to that, this is good, right? This is, I mean, 56 points isn't a lot for a championship winning team, for 59 potentially. But this is good for the league, I rate, because, I mean, all the way, we have to be glued to our screens.
In terms of entertainment, you're talking.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good for Chiefs as well. You know, you've got, I mean, how good was Nurkovic as well? I mean, just that flick on, being in the right place at the right time, Billiatt back on the score sheet, which brings it even more exciting to the finale game, because if he can bring a little bit of fire, that's all the Chiefs need, because he has the ability to change the game. He's that good when he's on song. But I mean, it's just, I was nervous for Chiefs. I was very nervous. It could have, you just never know.
Yeah.
Against a 9-man chipper. You know how much I love chipper.
Yeah.
You just never know. And, Sundowns did well. Again, first 15 minutes could have gone either way. I mean, Polokwane had a couple of good chances. Zwane, phenomenal. But just,
That link up with Cirino, man.
Yeah, absolutely phenomenal. And, what a power weekend ahead.
Yeah.
Teko, what are your thoughts on the games, bud?
Chief, I was just happy that the electricity was back at my place. I didn't even know that there was a channel where I could watch so many games at once. I was glued to Mamelodi Sundowns more. Reason being, trying to see if they actually a team that can push Chiefs to the last game. That was my biggest concern. I wanted to see how Mamelodi Sundowns performs, right? And I was switching back and forth with Kaizer Chiefs as well. But my thing is I don't think it's actually anything good for Chiefs right now. You know, you're looking at some point these guys were 13 points ahead. And they had to come back and fight for it, where they could have now be introducing young stars for the last three games or so. But one thing also that I need to commend them for is they've been number one since August. It's been over a year now, you know, and it's not easy when you have to compare players from Kaizer Chiefs to Sundowns. I think Sundowns has a better squad. But Chiefs have done the best that they could with the squad they have. And yesterday's game, I think it's brilliant to see Kama back on the score sheet. He didn't look as happy as the Ronaldo that we know with the celebrations, but you can tell that he's been stressed. You know, there's so much pressure on him. You can tell on his face.
But it could have been three or four, hey? He could have scored three or four goals.
Yeah. But the thing is, we tend to forget the pressure that the players are in. I was listening to the comments after the game, like, yeah, with eight men down, we could have scored more goals. It's never easy with so much pressure, knowing for a fact that you haven't won so many years. It's not the pressure the Kaizer Chiefs are in. It's not because they were number one, they have to win the league. It's because they haven't won so many years. They forgot the feeling of winning. So now the pressure is there for them to get that feeling back. And sometimes things are not going your way. But anyway, you have to win. And that's which is what they did yesterday. Both teams got the results that they needed. Sundowns scored three. So last game, I'm afraid it's going to be a movie. For me, I think the problem will be, not the problem per se, but Chiefs, what they need is they need to remember where they were last season this time. Probably on the lock, they were fighting for number 9, number 10 there. So now there's a huge improvement from the team. They need to block the noise in the last game. They don't need to focus on what Mamelodi Sundowns is doing. They need to do their job. They need to win the game for themselves. They must forget about what Mamelodi Sundowns are doing, because if they do that, it might be a problem. And I think it's on the last game, they need to just trust and believe in everybody's ability, because I've seen, like with Bidvest's game, if you look at how they conceded, Mato is the one that's pressing the man on the ball up front there, one pass out, Ivan Gar scored the goal where Mato is supposed to be as a defender. I believe that I've never understood when in the game, dying minutes, as defender becomes a striker because we need to score goals. What is it that you're going to do there that is better than the strikers? It's just that sometimes you, for me personally, I've never believed in those type of things. So people that are supposed to play in their position, let them play in their position. Whether you win or lose, you still have to have a structure within the team. And with Kaizer Chiefs being in the position, in his first position, you need to always have a structure, whether it's a lose or draw or anything else, because of those goal differences might come in play come end of the game. You never know. Sundowns might score six, Chief. The Sundowns. So you need to have the
That's
type
very
of,
possible.
The
yeah.
type of Exactly. So I think on the day, Inje, I enjoyed Themba Zwane's performance yesterday. I've spoken about Themba Zwane being the candidate for me for Football of the Year for obvious reasons. I mean, the guy's got 11 goals as a midfielder. He's the only midfielder that has so many goals with double figures. And he was competing with Loch last season with Football of the Year, and he only had 4 goals last season. So imagine the improvement of this season. So if he doesn't win it, I don't know who. But come Saturday, I'm going to the studio with tissues, because I know that somebody's going to cry.
All right. So, sticking with the PSL, heading into the last round of matches, my oh my, what these games mean. Chiefs versus Baroka, who, by the way, took down Mamelodi Sundowns not too long ago. And then Mamelodi Sundowns against Black Leopards. Both of those games are title deciders and relegation deciders. Polokwane City who sit bottom of the table right now. But I'll tell you this, the permutations are insane. Baroka, if they just get a point, they know that they're not automatically safe. They would still potentially finish in 15th. But that's, you know, it's just not the same as going down immediately. But if anybody just gets a point, actually, it is only Baroka who can still be overtaken by Polokwane City. So it's Polokwane City will be facing, give me 1 second, Bidvest Wits. And so no easy games here. But, you know, more importantly, at the top, 56 points they are tied on. Kaizer Chiefs with the goal difference of 21. Mamelodi Sundowns with a goal difference of 18. And we know Sundowns. We know that when they want to, they can be absolutely Bayern Munich level savage.
Sure.
So Chiefs are going to have to show up and show out. And they unfortunately won't know. There's no information that can be fed to you live like that. So you just have to show up. So, you know.
Are the games at the same time?
Yes. Yep. All the games will be at the same time. 3:30 Saturday.
Damn.
I'm so excited because there's
and
so much.
Very rare happen. To say for a PSL game,
right?
Very excited
at Sean, this level.
Come on.
I mean,
come on, Sean. We know Stellenbosch and Highlands Park games always exciting. No one is playing in the midfield. It's always up in the air.
Correct.
Isn't it wild though? If you look at the GLAAD Africa Championship, it also came down to goal difference on the last day, and now it's the same. Except, you know, I think as much as Amakosi fans will tell you that they're confident, our boys are going to do the job. The nerves, I can feel tension. I can feel it through Twitter. I can feel it through Facebook. They're not fully, because you don't know.
They're unsure.
Exactly. Chiefs could win 1-0, Sundowns wins 5-0.
Yeah, and they haven't had the best bubble. So, but you know what I'm saying? They're coming off a win. They're playing Baroka, who's coming off a massive loss.
Mm-hmm.
But Baroka have beaten Sundowns.
Yep.
So you've got to like, and anything can happen. They're playing for their lives. Both team are playing for their lives. I've got to go for a Chiefs victory. Like, well, there's no other choice. Yeah. Again, we keep on saying it every week, but there is no other choice.
Yeah.
I think Sundowns will win. I think Chiefs will win. I think Chiefs will win the league.
See, this time I have to go scoreline predictions though, because it's important.
So I'm gonna go dramatic. It's gonna be 1-1 with Chiefs and Baroka till the 89th minute, and Karma Billiard to score in the 93rd minute for a 2-1 victory. And I've got goosebumps saying this, and then all of a sudden he's an Amakosi hero yet again. That's what I'm going for. And I'm going for a convincing 3-0 win for Sundowns anyway. But I'm just saying, that's what I'm going for. I'm going for a nail biter.
So you think Chiefs win it by one goal on goal difference?
I.
Because that's what it would be. By the way, for everyone listening, if they do end up tied on goal difference, Chiefs would likely win because of goals scored. Because they have 47 going into this last round. But unless Sundowns hit a 9-0.
Which is possible. If Zwani played like he did last night, it's possible. What do you think, Tex? What are your predictions?
Not for the score line, though. I think both teams will win. But it's just that my fear is with Kaizer Chiefs is they're not a team that is playing where they're not free. They're very nervous, like Slua said. Like I can see the tension within the team as well.
Mm.
I see Mamelodi Sundowns going all out, trying to probably maybe score as early as they can so that they can have more. Because looking at the game yesterday, they could have scored 4. They were denied a goal, which was not an offside.
Mm-hmm.
So the goal difference will be different right now as well. But I see both teams winning, just going down to goal difference as well. So we'll see who wins it. But for me, it'll be sad to see Kaizer Chiefs not winning the league after they've done so well for the whole season.
I agree.
Yeah. It would be genuinely a tragedy, a South African modern tragedy.
It would.
All right. So I want to talk about best in the bubble in terms of the surprise packages post lockdown. We've seen some really impressive performances. I think now that we look at it, probably SuperSport United is top of that list. They've really just dominated every match. Cape Town City, I actually saw a table that was released that actually has Cape Town City on top, post lockdown.
Yeah.
So then, you know, at first we thought, oh no, Celtic, you know, they're going to struggle. But, you know, new coach, it is always tough, especially in the bubble.
Yeah. Sure.
And, you know, then we had Wits really struggling for form. And then, you know, they lost yesterday, but they got that big win against Chiefs.
I think don't write off Stellenbosch here.
Yeah.
They had zero budget this year. They've had an average team at best.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, are they top eight at the moment?
They are in 10th.
They're 10th. Yeah. I think they can go top eight if they win.
They can, yeah.
Which is unbelievable. I think Steve Barker's done an incredible job. And I hopefully they've got a bit more money to spend next year and push for some silverware because, but yeah, I think Cape Town City have been amazing. SuperSport, phenomenal. Leopards possibly as well if they stay above, because I mean they were the favorites to go down at one stage and
yeah.
They could survive yet again.
Yeah, they've got three wins and they lost five still, yeah,
which is massive.
Yes, yeah,
which is massive. Insane. But Cape Town City and Stellenbosch and SuperSport have been my prize, I would say.
SuperSport United now in third position.
Crazy. Which
I still find hilarious considering Stan has told me.
Stan hates it.
He doesn't want African qualification. But his team has different things in mind, Baba. 4-1.
What do you think, Teko? Your team of the bubble?
Oh, looking at the points, with Cape Town City having 12, collected 12, more than all the teams that we spoke about. I think they for me, they're not a surprise package because I believe that the team could have been performing like this since the beginning because they're capable of good players, you know, to do the job for them. But you can see that the understanding of the players and the coach is coming into play and you can see how they play as well. But for me, the biggest surprise will be Black Leopards, you know, collecting 9 points. When you look at Leopards in during the season, you never knew who are they going to beat? You know, you never knew anything about Leopards. You always thought that, okay, it's difficult to play Black Leopards in Venda, but they didn't win. It was just an interesting game, but they never won. So coming into the bye bubble and collecting so much points and being, I'm sure now in camp, now there's a different conversation altogether. You know, they just probably need a draw or a win. They're good. They're not stressed as they used to stress. I think the biggest problem now is in Polokwane City. They're fighting for playoffs.
Yeah.
They're not fighting not to go down. They're just fighting for playoffs because whatever reason they happen, if they win, they probably might go to the playoffs. But for me, I just wish that, not to be bad, but two teams from Limpopo should be going out, definitely.
Yeah. Make that away trip a bit more palatable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez.
The two teams are going out, definitely. But yeah, like you said, Sean, I think Stellies as well, you know, they survived and now they know what it takes to be in the PSL. And now I think going into the new season, they need to use this transfer window very well. They need to sign properly the players that can actually come and help the team. Players that can come in and probably maybe try to get silverware, whatever the case may be. But I think the biggest taste for them should be in the top eight. If they can be in the top eight, I think that'll change so many things at Stellies.
I think a quick shout out to one of the players at Stellies. I think Lee Langefeld, the goalkeeper, has been phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he had a great season last season to get them up into the PSL, was dropped. You know, as a goalkeeper, it's not easy. Stood his ground, kept quiet. They've actually released their first choice goalkeeper back to Holland. And now he steps in and he's the captain and he's done brilliantly. And yeah, just a shout out to Lee. I think he's done fantastic. It's very easy to drop your head in those situations, but he's done very well.
For me, Sean, he's great. Like, I've watched Stellenbosch. I think he's great, but I don't know. You can give him a call. Just to lose a little bit of weight. That would be great.
Dude, I wasn't going to say it, but I'll give him a call.
Yeah.
There's a couple of goalkeepers in the PSL. It's not just
Yeah.
Bro, how's Mwini at the moment?
Hey. Mwini Mbata for AmaZulu.
Yeah. It's
you're like, dude, what have you been eating? Fat cooks in a bio bubble. Like Jesus,
yeah,
but yeah, but I think if you have a goalkeeper in better shape, it gives you the confidence as a defender. But I think also because he's that good as in Stellies, I think if he's in better shape, he can be better. I think he can be one of those conversations where big teams are looking for him. So I think it's for his own good.
Yeah.
If he looks better.
I mean, what's Lee now? Is he 33, 34? I mean, if he looks after himself, he's got at least another 3-4 years in him for sure. So maybe I'll give him a call, Teko.
By the way, as long as we're doing some player shout outs, Peter Shalulile from Highlands Park has been amazing in the bubble as well. Even, you know, to catch up with Mango, who was on a run. Shalulile, I think he's also, we're going to talk about this potential Highland sale just now, but he's really performing like he's trying to wear the yellow next season, if he feels me. And then, who else did I want to, Wayne Sanderlands, that performance.
Double penalties,
big performances, you know.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And you know, Pirates are still in the hunt for third spots as well, sure. Which I'm sure they want, so.
Sure.
Especially with the pressure of potentially having Pirates want to buy Ofori. I think he's really shown that, like, hey man, I'm your guy.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But especially with Ofori costing so much money, I think Pirates will probably just want to stay.
Interesting.
In-house.
I mean, Wayne's 37 now, hey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So you've got to Richard's 26. So, but yeah, the way Wayne's been playing, he's been playing like he's 27. So, it's an interesting one. I think Pirates have struggled for goalkeepers over the past 3-4 seasons.
Yeah.
They need to get a proper number one. I'm not saying Wayne isn't, but you've got to look post next season. He is 37. What do you do? If I were Pirates, I would buy a Ofori. I'll let them battle it out. Realistically, I think Wayne will be a fantastic number two. And sort of a mentor to Richard if need be, but they definitely need to beef up that apartment, in my opinion.
All right, so up next, I briefly want to chat about this potential Highlands Park sale because it hasn't been approved just yet, and we're hearing all of these weird rumors. Mnisi at Highlands Park says he's ready to fight against the sale of the club. I think he has like a 20% stake. There was reports that Highlands Park players refused to train after PSL reports, but the way they've been playing, you wouldn't say that. There's reports of Peter Shalulile and Motobi Mvala being linked with Sundowns now. And it's just
Owen Degarmo going to TTM,
you know, and it's like I'm just getting flashbacks, man, because we've seen this just now.
Seen this story,
and
there's talk of it being relocated as well
to Mpumalanga. Yeah, so
yeah,
I don't want to see another, because I still don't feel good about this system of selling clubs. But you know, what would you guys think? Do you think that there's going to be another Highlands Park fire sale, you know?
But it's sad, because how old is Highlands Park? That's also a very old team.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's. I don't know if you can do a bit of research, Leslie. So I mean, it's just
1959.
You see, so 60 years.
Yeah.
It's frightening, and just to, and obviously it'll be renamed if it is sold.
Yeah.
And who they're talking? Tim Sukazi, right?
I did
message him. I didn't reply, so maybe that's a sign. I don't know.
Yeah.
But again, it's. You know, if there's no real laws laid down, if it's the wild, wild west out there and people can do what they want, if there's going to be all these tough away games, you know, to, you know, Venda, Mpumalanga, I don't know. It just puts a sour taste in my mouth, to be honest.
Yeah. And they have a good thing going there, man. That's my biggest thing. Like Highlands, it's not, they have a chance at a top eight finish.
Yeah.
I guess I don't know the thinking here. I guess
well,
money
I guess
to be
you've
made.
Got to look at who owns it, right?
Yeah.
And I know
yeah.
the guy that owns Hatfield, I'm not going to mention his name, but he's got a big stake in it. And I presume with the lockdown, without being able to, the car business might have taken a knock. He might need to replenish mm-hmm. some cash. That's the only way I can think of it. You know, I don't think you make a lot of money in this business. Yeah. To be honest, I don't think Patrice makes any money out of this. I'm sure he just forks it out. But yeah, I don't know. It's sad. Nevertheless, it's a sad, sad state at the moment, to be honest.
You know, Sean, for me, I would say if, because that's what I was thinking as well. If that's the case, maybe the person who's got bigger shares, who wants out, get somebody else to buy into those shares. Don't sell the team.
Sure.
Because Number one, like, look at what the team has done in Tembisa on its own. You know, it brought football back into Tembisa. People are excited to see Chiefs, all these big teams coming there to play. And there's always a full crowd whenever those teams go there to play Highlands Park.
Yeah.
And also, you can't be that guy that is always known as selling teams and buying them. You don't want to be that guy because they've been doing this for a long time. And now you see how messy it is now with Sinky fighting them, Sinky coming out, not knowing any, not having any information. He's still mad even today. And also you've assembled a good team that has been in a final as well. You know, you have an identity now as Highlands Park. We speak about this team almost all the time.
Correct.
And now you've got a good thing going, and then you want to spoil it, and then somebody else will come in and relocate, and now they need to start afresh. My biggest fear is the standard of football with all these guys buying all these teams, starting new teams. I think the standard of football will drop. I think we're just going to see maybe all these big three and maybe include Super Sport there a bit, and then the rest will be fighting amongst each other.
Scrapping.
It's scrappy, dude. So I think for me, I think it's bad timing for Highlands Park. You know, I think also the ambitions for the players as well, not sure of their statuses. I think that will put a little bit of a dent into the team, because even if you finish top 8, you know, you're not sure whether you'll be part of the team or not.
Oh, man.
Come next season.
Yeah, you don't want to be a footballer right now, do you? You know, unless you've got a 5-year deal at Sundowns, you're okay. But other than that, it's just, man, it's not a great place to be.
And I think it's just great for Shalilile. I think Shalilile is the guy that is every team will want to have. And of course, with how Sundowns play, I see Shalilile there, but I don't see Mvala being signed at Sundowns. I don't think he's going to bring anything that Sundowns doesn't have.
Yeah, but they have so many midfield options already over there.
No, they've got Sundowns. They've got creative midfielders, and the only person that is not that creative in that midfield, there's probably two. It's maybe Mabunda and Kotia, who's playing in the midfield, but they bring that solidarity in the midfield. You know, they bring that stilt in the midfield. Mvala. What are you going to do? Sundowns doesn't cross the ball. So who are you going to head it to? So I think with Mvala, yes, he's one of those ascending players for that team. He might go somewhere, but I don't see him fitting at Sundowns. But Shalilile is the guy that Sundowns really, really need, because you look at the way he scores. Even last season, he was their top goal scorer, even in Mvela. So he's been consistent for 3 years. So now he's the guy that scores all the goals. He scores with a header. You know, you want to have the type of a striker that is, you know, versatile, that can play off the shoulders. And that's what he does. And Mamelodi Sundowns will benefit so much from him. But I don't see, the price tag is crazy. I just want to see the guy that actually put on this price tag on this place. I just want to have a conversation with him. I'm like, dude, how do you get to this number?
What did they say now? Number.
Doesn't it feel like it gets higher every week, Deco? Because weeks ago I saw 30 million. Come on, I saw people tweeting 50 million. Yes, I was like, guys, dude, it's not going to happen.
No, he's, no. 15 million at the most, in my opinion.
Yeah, those, the big price tags, that's what we send to Europe, man.
Exactly.
We don't send these to each other.
Exactly.
Exactly. So it's crazy. It's crazy how they get to that number. But I'm with this quality, yes, millions, yes. But 15 to 20, 30 million, I mean, come on, guys. This is a guy that the problem is also, you need to figure out, like, whether he'll still do the same thing in bigger teams, because we've seen top strikers go into big teams and then getting there, you're getting your 4 goals a season with 29 games. So now the big question is at Highlands Park, they play for him. You know, they know that he's the guy. Every ball needs to go to him. Highlands Park, when they want to win, they know who to take the ball to. Sometimes they don't rely on any individual. They rely on the team. They rely on everybody to bring in and chip in and score goals. So I think for me, 30 million, it's too much. Not doubting any talent from that boy, but come on, 30 million is a lot.
15 max, capped. That's my opinion. 15 million.
Yeah, everybody got to calm down on these Twitter streets. It gets higher every week.
I am.
But up next, we have the International News Desk. And for that, we are joined by International News correspondent, Kurt Buckerfield. How are you doing, Kurt?
Hey, man. How are you guys doing?
We are good. Hey. We are good.
Baka.
Kurtie.
So, you know, we were just talking about some high-level transfers that could happen within the PSL, but now we can look over to the Premier League. And, of course, that will involve Messi, but let's talk about some other guys first. So, over at your team, Man United, I believe Donny van de Beek, right?
Yes, apparently you pronounce it van de Beek.
Van de Beek.
That's what I've seen.
All
van
right.
de Beek, yeah. Van but as a South African, I want to say van de Beek.
Absolutely.
That's the, yeah, I think. Van de Beek. Van
Hello.
De Beek. But I think he's probably going to go by Donny, you know? Donny. Yeah. All right, so what does he bring to the Man United midfield, which is already, you know, there's already Bruno there, Pogba there. What dynamic is he going to bring in? And what do you think Man United will look to next, because I don't think the transfer window is over for them. I think they probably want to add another guy. So what do you see from Man United with this move and potential future ones?
I think it goes without saying that his arrival definitely gives Manchester United depth. We saw Solskjaer. I don't know if you guys remember, but last season, towards the end of the season, he wasn't using any substitutes.
Mm.
And it felt like it was a clear message to the board to say, well, I don't have players to bring off the bench. You know, a lot of people are saying it's just going to give United depth, but I don't think that we're actually giving this player the credit that he deserves. He's a very, very intelligent midfielder, but very unassuming. I tweeted about it the other day. I said he doesn't look like he's capable of the things he's capable of. He's very versatile in midfield, likes to get into the box. He likes to play quick passes, little back heels, flicks around the corners. So I'm very excited to see this guy play. I think it is going to be very interesting to see if he does fit in the team with Bruno, with Pogba, with Marshall, with Greenwood, with Rashford. You know, it's a lot of attacking those are a lot of attacking players, but it's very exciting. I think that he can play, like I said, he's versatile. He can play a few roles in midfield. He can play as a defensive midfielder, but I think that his strength is to get into the box. He has been likened to Thomas Muller in the sense that he's very, very good with space. He arrives at the right time. He's got a knack for that, and I don't think you can teach that. That's something a player just develops. So I'm very excited to see how it all works. But then on to, you know, which other players we could be targeting. I'm still seeing reports in England say that Manchester United are still quietly confident that they are going to land Jadon Sancho in this transfer window, which is extremely interesting because of what Dortmund have said. They've been pretty clear in saying that Sancho will be with them this coming season. But it looks like, you know, there's some politics at play maybe. They're holding out for that 100 million figure, which United are pretty much just weighing up, you know, whether to do that now or next season. And I have a feeling it's going to be now.
Okay. Interesting. I mean, it would be a massive move for Sancho to go over. And I think that also puts more pressure on that front three because, you know, Rashford didn't have the best season last season. And Sancho's a winger, and I believe he was Sancho's a right winger. Am I correct?
Yes, right winger, yeah.
So, you know, do you bench Greenwood then, who I thought was pretty decent last season?
Yeah, I think it just, I don't know. I mean, Greenwood's a very, very talented player, obviously, but he's 18 years old, and you can't be relying on an 18-year-old for 50 games a season, you know? So if you're playing in the Champions League and all these cup competitions and the Premier League, you're going to want strengthening numbers. Sancho would be a regular starter. I think he would be first choice. But when Rashford's off form, then Greenwood comes in. With Marshall's on off form, then Rashford goes up top. And Sancho and Green would play. So I think it just gives Solskjaer a lot of options, and that's exactly what he wants and what he was lacking last season.
Interesting stuff. We have to talk, I guess, about, I mean, Chelsea are in for, oh man, his name is escaping me now. From
Havertz?
Yes. Yes, Kai Havertz,
yes.
from Leverkusen. Is that still in the works? Because it feels like it's been in the works forever.
Well, apparently Chelsea are just preparing the announcement.
Ah.
There was a picture circulating on social media yesterday, which it looked like Kai Havertz was already in training with Chelsea. And that's what the tweet said. So it's pretty much done, Slew. $80 million up front, a 5-year deal. Yeah, everything's done. It's another excellent signing, but obviously with these arrivals comes greater expectations. And Frank Lampard, you know, he has to deliver. I mean, they've backed him in this transfer window. But believe me, there will be a long line of coaches throwing their name in the hat if things don't go too well for him.
How much have Chelsea spent this window?
Oh, my God. I think it's upwards of... it's
300, isn't it?
200. No. I think it's around... or net spend around $230 million.
Ooh. That's, yeah.
And it's starving people around the world.
Come on, Sean.
Come on, man.
Oh, you want to talk? You're a Manchester City fan.
Come on, man.
Jeez. Manchester City, I saw a figure that since 2016, you guys have spent £660 million.
That's ridiculous, bro.
No Champions League, though.
Oh, dude. Anyway. But, are we talking about Messi or?
Yeah, we got it now. Now that I've brought up City.
Come on, Kurt. Tell us about your man.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, guys, but I'm over it, man. Nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. Apparently, his father had a meeting with the president, the Barcelona president, Tuesday night or Wednesday night, sorry. And it was a stalemate. No progress at all. The club are still insistent on the fact that he isn't able to leave in this transfer window. They are insisting he has a contract until 2021, but Messi's father's stance is that he is free to leave. So I've read, you know, a whole bunch of contrasting reports, and I'm always very careful, you know, in what I believe during these times.
His buyout clause is met, right, which is $600+ million.
Yeah, but Sean, I don't believe that. I still think that, you know, at the end of the day, it's going to come down to not just one man's decision. And right now, the president is trying to make Messi stay. But I think that, and I've read this too, there are a lot of board members at Barcelona who want to help Messi, want to make this civil. You know, they want to give Messi the respect that he deserves. They don't want to make it ugly. So it could very well go to court, but you'd have to consider that the presidential election comes up next year, and the new president could very well just, you know, squash the court case and leave everything, you know, like just completely, I don't know, guys. I mean, look, I'm tired talking about it. Honestly, I'm sure you can pick that up, because every single day we're reporting on this, every single day we're reading different things. You've got one section of the media that seems incredibly biased, and you see a lot of slander towards Messi, which I'm seeing more and more of, which is something you spoke to me about, Slew. You mentioned it to me.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of people now saying things like, well, he's, you know, the club don't deserve this, the fans don't deserve this.
And calling him a traitor, the main thing is to me...
It's ridiculous, man. Of course he's not a traitor.
Yeah. My thing is, I enjoy freedom for players and athletes. Like, play where you want to play. And my thing is that he's allowing Barcelona to still make a ton of money from this transfer if it does happen, right? So all they have to do is kind of...
Well, not really, Slu, because if he does leave, he's trying to leave for free. So
that's true.
Not really giving... Yeah.
But...
But I mean, he deserves to do what he wants.
Yeah.
He deserves to do what he wants after 20 years.
Because he's not going to Real Madrid. He's not going to Espanyol. You know, he would leave the league. So, you know.
And it's not like he jumped ship as soon as things got tough. I mean, it's been like, you know, it's been coming. It's been 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let him go.
So, man, just let him go. I still think it will come down to that. I still think they will let him go.
Man.
I do.
Time will tell.
Messy divorce.
Pretty messy, boys.
Time will tell. Anyway, yes.
But Cook, for me, I'll say, for us as fans, I think we know what Messi has done for the team, and we've seen how much he's struggled past all these years now when we don't have enough depth within the team. And he still shows up, and he's always been the guy that does the business. But he just did from a business side. I think it's very, very difficult for them to come to terms to that, you know, to just let go. Because I don't believe that they actually thought this time will come where Messi will be the guy that wants to leave. You know, when you have that beautiful girlfriend that you don't take care of, and then one day, and then she decided, I listened to it. I found
love. Stop bringing up your past, Seko. Please, man. Jeez.
No, but I'm just saying that you find that difficult. Now you all of a sudden now you show affection. Now you show love. I think this is the case with Messi. Now they realize that we don't have anybody that can actually carry the team. And you know how to when you start a new team, it takes 2-3 years to actually find the right combination and start working properly. And they don't want to go through that because now they've been struggling for the last 5 years. And the guy can see also that, you know what, you know, there's bigger things to win. You know, for the fact that he's 33 and is still ambitious as he is, I think that says a lot about his character.
Yeah.
But I think also with you look at, for me, I would say the board members, I think they should be looking at this differently. I mean, this is the guy that brought everything. He brought everything into the team. You know, he's the guy that actually made it easier for them to sign other players because they always wanted to play with Messi.
Yeah.
Now, I think he needs to be given the respect that he deserves. I think they need to be, to be merciful on this situation and find a common ground where everything else will happen the way it's supposed to happen. I don't think he needs to fight himself out. I don't believe that. I don't think he really wants that because, I mean, he's got a legacy there. I think they just need to find a common ground and shake hands. Even if there's a fee, I think they need to come to a fee that is not ridiculous. Let him come to a fee that, because at the end of the day, once the boy is done, you always want him to come back, probably maybe be a brand ambassador, whatever the case may be. So I think those are the type of things I need to look at. Because look at Ronaldinho. He played, what, 3 seasons? At, then they try to make him a brand ambassador. But the problem is Ronaldinho is busy juggling the Luca Bonito. But you need the type of Messi's. You need the type of people into your team because those are the guys that actually knows what it takes to play for Barcelona. So, but if you f up the relationship right now, there's no way that guy will come back there. And also, as footballers, we speak. So some young star will be interested to go in Barcelona. He'll give Messi a call. Do you think this is the right move? You don't want him to say, dude, you go in there, it's a prison sentence. Don't go there. So I think those are the type of things that they need to look at.
Yeah. And I think just one more thing on this. I think it plays into the board's hands, the fact that this is all dragging out. Because if Messi does end up leaving, then the board are going to say, well, you know, he forced his way out. There was absolutely nothing we can do. So they're trying to look, it's probably a conspiracy, but it feels like they're trying to drag his name through the mud so that when he does eventually leave, they say, well, you know, he made it ugly and, you know, he was willing to take us to court and, it all got out of control. So he ended up leaving and there was nothing we could do because this president, no matter what else he does after this Barcelona job, will always be remembered as the president who upset Messi and who let Messi go.
Yeah.
That's it. There's nothing else he can do now to redeem himself ever again. So I just feel like that's what this president is thinking. It's like, I can't have this on my name. And it's going to be a name on his name.
Yeah,
for sure.
I think either way, what we'll get from this is maybe in about 10 years or so, a fire Netflix documentary exposing Barcelona.
Oh, goodness me. Or just like an autobiography or something from Messi's side. Oh, my God,
It'll be insane.
I think out of this conversation, what I've taken out of it is Teko's word of the year. He said, Messi-ful.
Messi-ful, man.
Unbelievable.
Yes, he did say that.
Well done.
That was amazing,
He didn't even realize you said it. Well done, Teko.
That's Oxford Dictionary.
That's how good he actually is.
Sean.
Well done, Teko.
the headline.
Messi-ful.
The headline for the whole podcast, Messi-ful, Teko Moody. But Kurt, so thank you very, very much for joining. Have a good one.
Thanks, Kurt.
Chat to you next week. All right. Up next, we have a segment called 10 Quickfire Questions. It's the show where we get your favorite PSL players on the line and put them on the spot. This week, we have...
Hi, my name is Kuda Kwasi Mahashi, Super Sport midfielder. This is my 10 fire question.
Who is the funniest guy in the PSL that you've played with?
Kabuza.
Who is the flashiest dresser that you've played with?
Mpoma Kola.
Who is the worst dressed?
The worst dressed?
Yeah.
It's me.
All right. So what is the worst mistake that you remember making in a match?
I remember when I missed a penalty when I was still at Orlando Pirates, Nedbank Cup.
Do you remember who it was against?
Yeah, Black Leopards.
All right. At Supersport United, who is your best friend?
Washington Arubi.
What is your favorite footballing memory?
When I scored a goal for the National Team Chan Tournament 2014.
And what is the best goal that you've ever scored in a match?
Golden Arrows versus Baroka. We went on a transition. We won the ball in the center. Mm-hmm. And then we counter-attacked Baroka. So I was still making a run. And then Figi Zolo just passed me the ball. I hit it first time.
If you could have any car in the world right now, what car would you get?
BMW X6.
If I go to Zimbabwe right now, what's a local food that I have to try?
You must try Sadza and Mazondo.
And last but not least, what is your favorite holiday destination?
Dubai.
Have you ever been?
No, I wish to go there with my wife and my family.
I love it because you know what it tells me about these guys is that they sit probably for hours at a time just looking at pictures of other places.
Oh man.
Fantastic stuff.
Big thank you to Guda.
Yebo. And up next, we have a segment called The Secret Footballer. It's where Sean Roberts takes a look at our sister publication, Kickoff Magazine, finds a story on the back page that is told by an anonymous source. What you got for us this week?
Yeah, so this is actually something I've never even thought of, and this player said it, and I don't know if we've actually covered it. Mm-hmm. But if we did cover it, I obviously wasn't listening. So here we go. What is interesting for me is what will happen next season because COVID will still be around and our clubs won't be able to afford to put the players back in the bubble again. It's a good question.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we have covered it or we've even asked the question.
We covered it briefly, but not with with the cost factor in mind of we can't do another bubble. But it is.
And I open the question to you and Teko, you know, what can actually happen? I mean,
It's I have to look at what the Premier League did with going to the each team's stadium, and just making sure that it's well sanitized and well kept, and that seems like the best option to me because again, we can't go to one province again and just do it like this. It was just too expensive.
Yeah.
It's going to be about trust, whether or not do we trust all the players and team members and staff members to...
The problem is it's not really about trust because if there's one case, no matter how it comes, like what happens in?
That's the thing. And with football, it's strange. They tell just the players to isolate when they get COVID. For example, Neymar has just contracted it. He has to self-isolate. But you look at something like basketball, one guy got it, league shut down.
Yeah.
So are we an NBA or are we a Premier League? Or
we're PSL, brother.
We're PSL, my chief.
So I don't know, Teko, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, bro. I mean, the problem is if... They've got to be more, if it is possible, more relaxed about it because it's. But you can't be more relaxed. So I don't have the answer.
Yeah,
we can't go back in the bubble. It's not feasible.
Mm-hmm.
It's not financially feasible. You can't expect players to be away from their families for months now.
Yeah,
some guys have just had kids and whatnot. And I don't know how they're going to monitor what these guys do. Not just the players. You're talking about staff as well outside of the game. Like once they leave training, what do they do? So, Teko, I don't know if you've heard anything, being the man on the ground there. Have you heard what could possibly happen?
I haven't heard, Sean, but I think what made it easier for the PSL to have a bio bubble was because, if you remember, Ivan Khoza said they were paying the team's grant and there were no football at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was the team's responsibility to pay for their own bio bubble and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if we have to happen like that again, I think it will be strenuous for the players because I don't think it's easy for the players even now to be in the same spot. It's isolated in your room. I think it's tough for the players. But I also believe that if now we opening up things, I think it all goes down to a team's responsibility in terms of testing as well. I think it'll be proper if all the players get tested maybe before they go to camp so that everybody knows where they are. And it's going to be tough for the teams as well to monitor all these players, what they do, where they go, and whatever the case might be. So if you are a very responsible person, and sometimes you don't have to be irresponsible, you need to be careful where you're going because you can get this thing from anywhere. But I think it's going to be tough going into the new season. You just hope that with summer coming in, the weather being great, maybe the cases might go down a bit. So, and it might give a little bit of freedom in terms of movement.
Sure.
But for now, I think after this, I think it all boils down to the players themselves, the teams as well, because I don't think the PSL will take such responsibility again. Because number one, we can see how badly teams are performing. We haven't seen the best performances in the Bayer bubble for teams because you can tell that there's so many issues within there. It's not easy. I hated camp all my life. I hated going to camp. I just hated being away from my family because I don't like being told what time to eat, what time to sleep, you know. But this is the case. This is where we are right now. But I think I think now after this, the players would have adjusted to what the norm is. And maybe taking more responsibility going forward. I think it's high time that players take responsibility, and we'll see what happens. But I haven't heard anything. But it will be very interesting to see whether we are going to have a Bayer bubble again. But I don't think it's good for anybody, for any team, you know, for any coach. Imagine you losing every game at the Bayer bubble. You go back to the hotel, you're seeing the same people. Because when you're home, you've got a proper balance. You know, you can switch off from football a little bit. You know, for family, there's kids there around, and then it gives you a little bit of time to calm down a bit. But in the Bayer, there's no such. You're seeing the same people that cost you the game, or even the players as well. You that feeling will never go away until the next game. So there's no time to actually readjust your feelings and all that type of stuff.
Real quick, before we discuss the promoted teams, I want to do This Week in Football History real quick.
Today we remember great moments from the past. We dive into the time capsule. Join us as we remember great moments from This Week in Football History.
This week in 1892, Liverpool played their first match at Anfield, a 7-1 win over Rotherham Town in a friendly. This week back in 2001, Kaizer Chiefs beat Sundowns 7-6 on penalties after a 2-2 draw to win the BP Top 8 final. And this week in 2008, Manchester City announced the signing of Brazilian striker Robinho for a then British record fee of £32.5 million. You may remember him as the club's first signing since reaching an agreement to accept the Abu Dhabi United Group as their new owners.
Abu Dhabs.
It was the first big money signing, man. And you know, Robinho went on to become the greatest Manchester City player of all time.
Shut up, you.
Oh, man. That was This Week in Football History. But let's talk about, we mentioned it briefly earlier, but man, Swallows FC promoted. Will they return to the glory days of old?
I hope so.
Yeah. It's a tough and heartbreak for Ajax Cape Town on the other end of it.
Yeah, I mean, they had like a 6 points or 7 point lead at one stage, yeah. Ajax. So it is heartbreaking. We've seen it happen again and again with them. Mm-hmm. But I've said it before, we need three teams in Cape Town. So I'm just hoping they win the playoffs.
That's the thing. Okay, mentally speaking, coming from a player perspective, how do you get yourself out of this disappointment? I think you have to play six matches in the playoffs, right?
I think it's three. It's a tough one. It's a biggie because it's been an exhausting year for Ajax, I can imagine.
Yeah.
They haven't wanted to be in the NFD. There was that whole drama going on about, you know, remember last season, it was the season before last season, I can't remember, with what happened, and should have they been relegated with the player that was, I can't remember exactly what happened, some player played for three teams, I think it was.
Oh.
Yeah.
And that's
Doro.
That's why they got deducted the points. But, Swallows promoted, amazing. Again, came down to goal difference.
Yeah.
So much history with this team.
Mm-hmm.
They were forgotten for a good few years, and I just hope they make some good signings. I hope they've got some financial backing, and I hope they solidify themselves as a PSL front runner because Swallows is Swallows, man.
Yeah.
It's massive.
I saw a funny tweet from David Mogashoa.
Try to say that name when you're drunk.
he tweeted, he was like, PSL teams, please release our fans.
I like it.
Yeah, because.
True story.
Yeah, a lot of Swallows fans probably.
True story.
Secret fans of other teams now.
True story. So, yeah. I mean, the cool thing is all these Joburg teams that are leaving, at least there's one team coming back.
Right.
To Joburg.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of a consolation.
Exactly.
And Swallows have a big following, I take it. I mean, that's a big, big team with a lot of history.
With a lot of history.
Yeah.
But the fans are too old now. I'm sure they're in bed. But it's great to see Swallows back, you know, after, if you remember as well, you know, there was a big fight in terms of the names as well, you know, naming rights. So there was a lot of issues before Swallows became Swallows again. And for them to come into Glad Africa in one season and winning the league, to come back into the PSL, you know, I think they've done themselves great, great justice. You could see the way they're happy. And congratulations to them. And I'm happy to see Cheeseboy Mukwena back into the PSL.
Yes.
You know, he struggled a bit after Sundowns, moving from one club to another. Will they bring back the glory days? I think that's too soon for us to tell, because those are the kind of things that you build in years. So I think the first thing that they need to do is probably, you know, focus like what Stelis has done, focus on surviving first. You know, it's tough in the league.
But make the signings. Make some signings. Spend some money.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing is now, I think now they're in a good position.
Mm.
I'll tell you why. There's two top teams that are, okay, Wits, it's confirmed that they sold. And then Highlands Park, they potentially maybe, if somebody decides to tell the truth, maybe they might be selling, or maybe the deal is done already. And as Swallows, you look at what is it that you can get from there for free that can come and help you, you know, and then you're using those transfer windows very, very, very well. Don't be emotional. Don't go all over the place and start signing everybody. I think they need to be very, very strategic. I think it will be sad for them to come up and go down again within a year. And one thing that I appreciate about them as well is keeping Brandon Trotter, the coach.
Yeah,
man. You know, because after that, there was talks of who Gordon Eagerson is coming back. Who's just? I think this thing of recycling coaches, man, it disturbs me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Look, Gordon Eagerson has achieved so much in South African football. You know, I think his legacy is there, up there. But I think we need to give this guy's credit where it's due. You know, he's done so well within the team. I wish that Roca Salas wouldn't be too quickly to fire him or to put him under pressure. They need to understand the dynamics of the PSL as well.
That's the thing. Does he have the experience to sort of run a PSL team? I think time will tell, I guess.
I guess, but here's the thing. At some point, Gordon Nickerson didn't have that experience. Peter Msimane didn't have that experience.
Exactly.
So was Gavin Hunt. They didn't have experience at some point. So I think for you to acquire this type of experience, it's been thrown under the bus, and to have those kind of experiences. And I think Roca Salas are in that position as well. You know, it's great for them to come back bring back the football in Soweto, in Dobsonville. That's the stadium that they're going to use.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they just need to be competitive, because that's my issue, because there's no point of them being promoted, been doing so well in Real Africa, then come into the PSL and then you're not competitive enough. Then you're that type of a team now. Come next season, we're discussing whether you're going to survive relegation or not. And as for Ajax, I think it's sad, because they've been one of the teams that have been very consistent. I think they could have won easy, maybe in the bar bubble, maybe first three games or two games they could have been promoted easily. I think the pressure got the best out of them.
Yeah.
But also they still have a chance, you know. They're well rested now. They look at the league differently. They look at the potential people to play against, and they're gonna play against teams that are probably maybe not that fresh, and they're fresher. They need to take advantage of that. I think if they just win the first two games, they're done. They don't need to even play the third one.
Yeah.
You know, and like Sean has said, I think it'll be great for football, for Ajax to be back in Cape Town. You know, also for Cape Town, as a city, to have all these big three teams coming in there. You know, it's great. Created excitement. It's great for everybody. But yeah, at the end of the day, I think for Ajax players, I think they'll look at this as well as a second chance that they need to grab with both hands.
100%. Yeah, I think I agree with you. I mean, Swallows, there are players that are available now that are on a free that are will do a great job offhand, like Lucky Mahomi, for example, Keegan Ritchie, go back to his roots. But yeah, time will tell, I guess.
Time will tell. But yeah, no, congratulations to Swallows. Just looking at it, five wins to close off the season for them. They really chased it down. Came back strong, and you know,
and it's true, they did it very quietly. They never spoke about anything about winning the league. They did it so quietly. They took one game at a time.
Quietly, that's the. they did. They really did well. You know,
that's why.
Yeah, to hunt down Ajax the way they did sneakily. You know, sometimes when you chase people down. You need to do it in a car, you know? It just makes it easier.
I can see your head going. You're just thinking of like, how can I intro this? And that was horrific. But anyway, this week, car of the week is Dumisani Zuma's Golf 7R. He's been pictured.
Say that first name again.
Dumisani.
I just like the energy.
Did you like it? Don't pick
Dumisani.
On me. Dumisani. It is the most powerful golf ever sold by VW in South Africa. While it's not as popular as the older GTI sibling, the R is capable of a sub-5-second 0-100 sprint time. The R costs 676,500 Rand. That's around 100,000 Rand more than its older brother, the GTI. However, the R gives you the bragging rights, more power, all-wheel drive, and that lovely exhaust. It's not also that common as the GTI. I do love VW. I do find it excruciatingly expensive, though. But all in all, I'll give it a 9 out of 10.
Yeah, you see that R range, I really dig. I was actually warned off not getting a VW by like my parents. They were like, it's the one car that everyone will steal. I don't know if that's
even. It's a Polo.
Yeah.
If it's a Polo.
Apparently.
But the R range is sick, man. You know, the Tiguan. Yeah. Oh, man.
Sexy
cars. Car. Shaxi.
Yeah. All right. You know, Simon has a whole lot of editing to do before the show comes out. I think he's really going to need some motivation. So please.
Yes, Lou.
Right. I know, Tech. I don't want to say anymore, but I've given up on
him. Yeah, no. Guys, we must stop doing this at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Right. Dion Hotto said, attitude is everything in life. Whether you rise or fall, everything is based upon the attitude that you show at that moment. Your attitude determines your altitude.
Ooh, I've always liked that. Attitude determines your altitude.
That's it. Thank you, Dion.
That's the vibes. But if you have been listening to us.
What?
Sorry, just the.
I'm not going to say anything with this, codes and all that stuff. just going to keep it to myself.
All right.
But whether you've been listening to us on the SL Podcast Network, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or Mahigang 96.7 FM's Game Time, thank you very much for listening to the show. From myself, your host, Lou Paho, my co-host, Sean Roberts.
Thank you, sir.
And my other co-host, Mr. Teko Modise.
Awe mebute.
And our editor, Simon Strella, thank you. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, guys.
Cheers.
Today is a great day for car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on Sakala Duma Radio. This is a Hangana Corner.